Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in time for Daily Editorial. We want to start out today with what I screwed up on yesterday. Jim did a really, really good segment on basically alternatives to the January 2nd situation. And we're going to go ahead and go along with that, start out with that. And then we're going to talk about the censorship that's going on and how the Democratic Party really seems to think that's absolutely just fine. I'm also kind of curious, going to talk to Jim about what's going on with RFK Jr. and his idea to explore a run for the presidency. Neither one of us think it'll go very far, but we do think it's interesting. Jim, let's go back to January 2nd, first of all, and your thoughts on that.
So the conservative conservativetreehouse.com did an article, Sundance, who posts these articles, and it was a very interesting article, and I think people should read it and listen to it and think about it. So basically the article, what it does is it gives a background of the parliamentary move behind the J6 fencer action. That's the name of the article. The parliamentary motive behind the J6 fencer action. And basically, this is an article from Sundance. And in that article, he actually used an analyst that roped into their blog and discusses what went on behind the scenes and why you had particular things happen on time in order to ensure that there was no congressional review of January 6th and no auditing of the election from November in 2020. I think it's a very insightful, at least, whether or not everything is accurate in it, it's hard to say, but the information is very, very powerful and makes a very good case.
I think, quite frankly, it makes sense to say that it's accurate. And the reason that I say that is something very, very funny is going on in terms of the January 6th situation. I mean, you look at what Tucker Carlson came out with, and you look at how that was immediately struck down. But you look also at the fact that there is a very good possibility that election was, a totally fraudulent. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, if you would, Jim.
Well, let me talk about what was behind this article.
Okay.
and the points that they make. Okay, so basically the article and this analyst takes a look at questions. How did Congress prevent the state electoral votes, how did procedural processes keep people from questioning the election? And what it took in order to do that was an emergency event. And of course, just 3 minutes, literally 3 minutes before two representatives put in motions to suspend the certification, House members were inferred by Capitol Police and other agents that a protest was about to breach the chambers. And that's when Pence, Pelosi, Schumer, and McConnell can be seen walking out from the chamber. So they halted the process before these motions that were set to suspend the certification. Now, we don't know if those actually would have been accepted, but there is the possibility that they could have been. And what basically the argument in this article is that it was a coordinated procedural event to cause an emergency, because that changes the ability under an emergency situation, the Speaker of the House then has control and would not accept additional motions. And when that happened, and this, again, Pelosi, Schumer, Pence, and Mitch McConnell all left, then they came back later to certify the election, but they did not allow regular parliamentary procedures because the emergency had been put in place.
Right. So, you know, I have to say, Jimmy, I'm not surprised at all with in terms of Pelosi's actions, Schumer's actions, or the other Democrats' actions, but I am very surprised and disappointed at Mike Pence. Mike Pence is supposedly an honest Christian, and I would have to say that he took it upon himself to judge Trump without really any outside influence. And I think that was a real mistake on his part. I would have to go as far as to say that I would bet that that basically puts a huge dam in his future political career. Any comments on that?
Well, yeah, and I agree with you on that. I think that Mike Pence has no possibility of becoming president. And of course, as he speaks on the campaign trail right now, he's blaming Trump and saying that he had no constitutional authority to delay the election or the certification of the Electoral College. And the reason why he can say that legitimately is because there was no motions on the Senate or the House floor to do to audit and to suspend the electors for those key states, those six key states, and really it's just a handful of counties that made the determined the outcome of the election. And there were many, many questions that had to happen. So what Mike Pence, it appears, is that along with Mitch McConnell and, you know, basically uniparty Republicans and Democrats that did not like what Trump was doing, he participated, if not knowingly, he succumbed to their pressures regardless.
Yeah.
And he did not stand up for the best interests of the people, nor for clarification of what happened, which was essential for trust and faith in the institutions of the United States. He is continuing to blame Trump. I think there's no possibility he will have a chance at winning in 2024 unless the uniparty with the Democrats nominate him. I don't think there's any chance in the world that he would get that nomination for the 2024 Republican Party leadership. And unfortunately, very unfortunately for the American people and for the nation, there is no resolution to the questions that should have been asked about November 3rd, 2020.
November 3rd. Okay. You want to elaborate on that?
The election, the actual 2020 election.
Okay.
The presidential election.
Now, the question I have is, how did Donald Trump, let me give my opinion on this first, but how did Trump become so, I have to use the word hated because I think it's appropriate. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying I think the emotions against him are very, very negative right now. How did that happen? I have to believe in your theory being that Trump really realizes a problem in America, and that problem is directly the result of what most of our elected officials are doing right now. Give me a comment on that, Jim.
No, that's exactly what I think. I think is a threat, that Donald Trump was a threat to the power of the institutions that have now corrupted our government.
Yeah.
And I think that because of that threat, they pulled out all the stops, didn't hold anything back. And in fact, fraudulent lawsuits and continuous attacks on his family that are absolutely nowhere near what should be done towards the Biden family or other Democrats,
right?
But they ignore that. So they created, I think the Hillary Clinton team, I think the Democratic Party created an evil personification of Donald Trump, even though they loved him before he announced his
They really did.
He was very popular across the board and very well liked in the Democratic circles. But when he crossed that threshold, then he had to be taken out. And I think the control of the media, I think the control of information is so paramount to control of our government in order to keep feeding the corrupt at the elite level, that he's a direct fear, you know, people are very fearful of that. And so that's what's going on there. I do want to follow up with this article that I think people should take a look. And I'll just remember, the conservativetreehouse.com.
Yeah.
And the name of the article is "The Parliamentary Motive Behind the J6 Fed Surrection." So basically what they're arguing is that there was a coordinated effort with Nancy Pelosi to not allow security with the National Guard and other people so that they could breach the Capitol in order to stop procedural motions that may have in fact resulted in a questioning of the Electoral College because of the evidence of fraud and corruption.
And Jim, that is a pretty well-known fact right now. There's really very few people who can dispute that accurately.
Correct. And so now, so here was a procedural methodology that was put in place in order for her to do this. And of course, Mike Pence followed along, and Mitch McConnell was probably part of it. Here's the other piece of this article that someone brings up, and I think it's a pretty interesting thought. The two bombs that were planted at the RNC headquarters and the DNC headquarters in Washington, D.C., that they've never found the culprit of who planted those bombs, in spite of videotape, of a lot of information potentially of where and how that happened, and who might have been behind it. The FBI has not been able to find anything. Of course, how hard they're looking is a question, because that could have been, according to the speculation in this article, that may have been the backup plan. If people did not breach the Capitol, then maybe the bombs went off. That would have been the emergency to evacuate the Capitol in order to move the leadership out so they couldn't question and put motions forward to actually not allow the electors from those states to go forward.
Well,
that would indicate that there was a coordinated effort. If in fact these accusations pan out over time and are true, that would indicate that Democratic and Republican leaders in the House performed basically a coup to ensure that vote went forward in spite of all the questions that were out there. So I think this is a really, really important argument to follow up with and to track down the information, the coordination and communications between Nancy Pelosi and other members. And I think, you know, the dam will, if the dam ever opens up on this, then it should put people in prison.
Well, yeah, I mean, it should, but it's probably not ever going to see the light of day in terms of that happening. But let me ask you a question.
Follow up with that. Only if a new, very powerful, strong Republican leadership takes the executive branch and puts an attorney general that actually does the investigation for all these issues.
Yeah.
If that happens in 2024, there's a possibility, but it would have to break the whole back of the deep state, both Rhino Republicans as well as these powerful Democrats that are basically trying to control the outcomes.
But Jim, you and I follow this thing as closely as anybody. You certainly do. And let me ask you this. What are the odds right now, given the strength of what I'm going to call the opposition, what are the odds of that happening in the relatively near future?
So I think in the relatively near future, slim to none.
Yeah.
I think that the House oversight committees right now that are conducting these investigations are beginning to open the prism of censorship and corruption in D.C. That has to be wide enough that the media, that mainstream corporate media, begins to report on it. And that way it affects enough people that there's enough political pressure that it can't, that the corruption can't go on. The problem is that network is so tight and so closed that it may take some other major catastrophic event in order to change that perception. So short term, I don't think it's possible.
No,
long term, I do think there is a possibility that things in 2025, maybe 2026, begin to open up in some of these investigations if, in fact, the system is not so corrupted and we aren't actually in a devastating global war. Where this administration, the current administration, somehow manages to survive. But I think that they're so far askew from what the public wants in so many issues that they really can't keep this up unless they actually do more censorship and more control, which in response, Americans are going to say, okay, that's enough.
I think what that's going to take is that it's going to take huge blunders on the part of the Democrats, and I really don't see that happening. I mean, if when, for example, Joe Biden comes out and he blames SD bank failure on Trump and some of the population starts to believe it, I think that shows you how strong the Democrats are in terms of putting out things that are just simply not true. And a number of people don't want to see anything in America change from a political perspective, from a control perspective, etc. And I think that we've got some work cut out for us, Jim, personally.
I agree. It's going to be really hard. And things are not going to get easier. They're going to get harder. And yeah. I tell you, people are going to become more inclined to censor or to use law enforcement to silence opposition voices. Mark Kelly, senator from Arizona, the former astronaut, actually in the conference call with the FDIC and the Secretary of Treasury Yellen, as well as other senior, I think about 200 members of Congress, actually asked if there was a method that they could go ahead and censor social media in order to stop a bank run. Think about how much power the government has used to silence opposition, and now they're actually taking a sitting senator is saying, how do we censor Americans from getting information that may in fact help them make decisions about their future and financial future.
Yeah, but Jimmy, look at what Chuck Schumer, probably one of the strongest Democrats in the country, look at what he came out with. Look at his idea right after. I think he came out the Tuesday or the Wednesday after the bombshell from Tucker Carlson regarding January 6th. Schumer actually came out and told the American public that he believed, to keep things on an even keel in America, he needed the ability, as one of the strongest politicians in the country, to be able to censor some of the things that come out. I mean,
you can't win an argument.
Shades of Russia, Jim.
Absolutely. No, that's where we're heading, and that's what the Soviets would do. That's what the Chinese do right now.
Right.
And our government is actually participating in an effort to silence individual voices. And of course, Jonathan Turley did a phenomenal piece today or yesterday, I believe. Basically hammering the Democrats on the Oversight Committee hearings when the Twitter Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi were testifying on what they found in Twitter with this censorship industrial complex, the SIC. And they were attacking them just vehemently and wanting to silence them.
Yeah.
And this was a public statement. So this is the real battle. It's about freedom of choice. It's about, does the government give you your rights or does God give you your rights? And the government is supposed to protect those rights. And the Democrats don't have any faith. They don't have a higher belief in anything else. So they believe they give these rights. That is the biggest battle right now that we're fighting. And I'll tell you what, around the world, we're losing that.
Yeah, we are.
Losing that ability.
You bet.
And we're losing our influence in the United States to protect those basic interests because a political party has sided with media and corporations in order to shape and socially engineer people's minds.
Jim, let me ask you a question. I watched Matt Taibbi. I watched some of the proceedings where he was the star. And what I'd have to ask you is, he seems to have a lot of power among people like yourself, people with beliefs like yours and mine, but he doesn't seem to have a lot of power when it comes to the government's investigation of him. How long do you think he's going to last without being silenced by the federal government?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't think he's going to – yeah, this Justice Department, who knows? They may plant child porn on his information or his computer or something like that. You really can't trust the FBI. This is the sad thing about America. We cannot trust the justice system, so I don't know. But just a reminder, Matt Taibbi was a Rolling Stone reporter.
Yeah,
he's
I know that.
He's not a conservative.
Yeah.
He's an independent journalist now, right. But he's a leftist journalist. But he believes in free speech, and he believes that the government should not be controlling things. Hopefully, more and more people on the left, people like Joe Rogan, which has a tremendous influence, who's pretty much just kind of like, hey, I mean, he's a wrestler and a body guy. You know, but he's really angry about what's happening. He has a big influence on young people in America.
Yeah.
Hopefully people like that continue to talk and change the narrative of what's happening and the silencing, which with just legitimate questions, things that you have to follow up with and ask, you know, why is Hunter Biden getting a pass on all these illegal issues that we are factually can see off of his laptop? Why is the Biden administration, who made millions of dollars after he left vice presidential office from the Chinese, getting a pass because the media and the corporate entities and the elites control that and they don't want to upset that? Why do people like Larry Hogan or Phil Murphy, you know, Democrat in New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey, support Joe Biden? You know, why does he was thinking about running for president, but now, no, I support Joe. That means behind the scenes, the Democratic Party are now preparing for Joe Biden to run again. They do not want to lose control. And people like Mike Pence, people like Mitch McConnell, very powerful conservatives, Ken Cuccinelli, they don't want change in Washington. They want things to stay the way they are because they benefit from it. And they think they know better than the rest of America.
Jimmy, you're inferring that you think that desire to not have any change for the time being anyway is going to be basically the title of the status quo. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they want things to work their way they are. But the problem is they're failing. You know, the SVB bank failure, across the board, border issues and policies, the inflation today, the announcement, it's back up, you know, at 6.4%. You know, we're still haven't even reached interest rates that would match that, but now they're going to have to back off on the interest rates because of the bank weaknesses, because of these long-term bonds, and because of the crypto failures. The crypto failures – massive.
The crypto failures are definitely the fault of the Republicans, right?
No, totally unbelievable that they would make these arguments. But in fact, they're doing it. And there are a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry to say it, but there are a bunch of idiots out there that hear that and just walk away and say, oh, that must be right, because that's what, you know, and it's just insane to me.
I think what we're witnessing right now, Jim, I know that what we're witnessing right now is basically a takeover of the country that to this point anyway, to the point on, let's say, March 14th, to this point, the takeover folks are, I would have to say, in the lead. Would you agree with that?
I think the very powerful elite have always been in power and making these decisions. I think they've overreached their efforts right now. It appears they're in the lead because they control the voices, they control the media, they control the power, levers of power.
Yeah.
But I really do believe that many, many more people are beginning to realize the level of corruption and the false, you know, basically the false prophets of bogus success. They're not working. You know, we're failing. The United States is diminishing in power globally. We are diminishing in economic power. We're diminishing in military power. We're diminishing in information power. We're diminishing in diplomatic power across the board. Those basic elements mean the United States will be subservient to whoever fills that gap.
Yeah.
That gap will be filled by China and its allies over time if we are not careful.
Well, if you look at the recent event brokered by the Chinese, the what I would have to say relationship between Saudi Arabia and certainly Iran, if you look at the success of that effort on the part of the Chinese, I think they are the folks we have to really, really follow on this program, Jim, because I think they have a lot more power than many people think.
Yeah.
But, you know, the question is Russia going to become part of that triad? I don't know. What do you think? I think they will.
Well, they're working there in the long term. Russia and China are competitors and really enemies. And they've fought some very ugly border skirmishes because Russia is losing demographics. They're losing population. They have nuclear power, but they're losing a lot of their military power right now.
Yep.
China has a very long border with Russia in the Far East, and of course there are massive resources there. So over time, that will be a competitive location and potential conflict location between Russia and China. But the short term, Putin's in a desperate situation. He needs resources. He needs to continue having the economy to support his objectives right now. So they're going to partner up, and the Chinese, I think the Chinese are looking at him as kind of like, all right, yeah, you fool, go ahead and keep doing that. And that's fine. It'll make you weaker, but it also weakens all the West. It weakens the United States. It weakens the NATO and the EU countries that are pouring in all their arms and ammo in there. And the Chinese actually control the resources to produce, you know, much of the world's industry right now. So especially aluminum and rare earths.
You bet.
So we wouldn't be able to compete militarily over time if the Chinese decide to go to Taiwan and then expand even further. Now, I don't know if they're ready for expansion that far, but I do know they want to dominate the region and certainly the Pacific. They've made it very clear that that's the case.
And so far they've been successful. Yeah, so far they've been successful. I would have to say that probably before June, I think that we're going to see the Chinese going into Taiwan. And I'll take it one step farther. I don't think there's a damn thing that America can do at this point to protect Taiwan. Give me an opinion, Jim.
Well, I think what will have to happen, and I don't think this administration is capable of doing, again, these are conflicts that don't need to happen if there are thoughtful political moves taken in advance of confrontation. I don't think this administration is capable of making those decisions. Very much what happened in Afghanistan and the war that broke out between Russia and Ukraine could have been avoided with the proper diplomatic moves.
I don't disagree, Jimmy, but I think you can't disagree with me when I say that they're not capable of doing what you just mentioned, but they are certainly capable of forging ahead with their direction in a very successful manner among the day-to-day life of the Americans and what they, the Democrats, want as to be the end result. I think they're being very successful at this point, and that makes me sad, Jim.
I don't think they're being successful. I think what they're doing is attempting to shape people's ideas with this gender transition surgery for children, with this teaching, you know, sex education to kindergartners.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of media attention about that, which is actually probably increasing more frustration in the middle income and regular people that just don't think that's a good idea for their kids in school.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is appreciative. I mean, there's a very small group of people that are appreciative of what's happening with the border and the costs that are associated with that and what's happening in Mexico and drugs and all those things. I think more and more Americans are frustrated with pouring money into Ukraine with no policy, no direction, no outcome. So over time, their immediate media successes will not translate to political successes, and ultimately they will undermine this the strength of the nation.
Yeah.
So there will be we've ridden this wave up and down before. I was just thinking about 1979, the Iranian hostage crisis. The Middle East was burning because of against the United States.
Right.
You had the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviets at that time. You had confrontation across the board. You gave away the Panama Canal control. There's all kinds of things that the 4 years of Carter administration did over a 4 year period. Joe Biden has managed to exceed those damages in a 2 year period. And now he's continuing down that road. There was a huge pushback in 1980 and 1981 because of his, you know, very, very bad policies.
Yep.
And I think that pushback will be coming unless they put more control and do exactly what they're asking to do, more censorship and using law enforcement to push their directions. So I think it's actually a mistake for them. I think it will be destructive for the Democratic Party. I think it has been in many, many ways. But from the very surface appearance, it seems like because we're listening to the media, or, you know, because people do listen to the crap MSN, mainstream media outlets, but there are fewer and fewer people listening to that stuff.
Well, I mean, MSN, CNN, et cetera, they certainly seem to be in trouble if you use the current ratings and the lifespan of many of the anchors. They certainly don't seem to be very successful. You know, I would even take it one step farther. I would have to say that I think Fox is probably, a lot of people disagree with me here, but I think that Fox is getting to be much, much stronger. Look at the ratings of Carlson.
Yeah, I think that, well, overall, all news media outlets, the numbers have gone down. But comparatively to the other networks, now Fox is way ahead. And Tucker Carlson, he's actually the number two. It's The Five, the earlier show of the day with, you know, has Jesse Waters and
the five is quite frankly very interesting. I watch it. You know, I think
that's the number one show in digital in cable news.
Is that the number one show on Fox, or is that the number one?
No, that's number one overall.
Okay.
Number two is Tucker Carlson. Number three is Sean Hannity. Number four is Laura Ingraham. Number five, I mean.
I don't think there's any question that Fox isn't doing a really good job. No, they're doing a great job all in all.
But I will say this. The Fox family, the Murdoch family, they're globalists. And Lachlan Murdoch and James Murdoch, they're not conservatives. They're moneymakers.
Yeah.
And you know what they're doing? They've been trying to appease certain powers, and they were very much involved in shaping and changing the narrative for November 3rd, 2020, when they announced early with their analytical team that Arizona went to Trump when there was only 63% of the vote that went there.
That was a mistake,
Not just a mistake. That was coordinated. That was part of an effort to get Trump out. And in my mind, there is no question that was an effort to do that. And that stopped the voting in Philadelphia, in Fulton County, Georgia, Allegheny County, and ski areas. So huge, huge impact. So, you know, I don't trust Fox. I don't trust anyone, any network news. You got to kind of sift through much of it, but you also, most people don't have the time, nor do they care about it that much.
Well, the only thing I can say is I don't trust them either. But I'll tell you, the group that I do trust, and I want to give them a bit of a whole lot of appreciation from myself. I really appreciate Frankie and Irish Tony and Jerry. I really appreciate you coming out and supporting me yesterday when I had some problems posting the daily editorial. That won't happen again. I respect you guys too much. I realize that these editorials that we do are very important for you. They're certainly important to Jimmy and I. They now have all of my attention. So I just want to say thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Jimmy, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to follow up with one more thing. So Michael Irvin, you know, former famous, you know, Dallas Cowboys NFL player and one of the announcers for sports.
Yeah.
He was accused just before the Super Bowl of making some sort of a crazy comment to a worker at Marriott Hotel at the Super Bowl. And and apparently he finally got the video from the Marriott Hotel and has filed $100 million lawsuit against Marriott for false accusations because it appears in the video that maybe there was no problem, as the woman had said, and she was like being polite and he was being polite and,
yeah,
and shook hands or whatever. So, there's no evidence or proof that what he said was actually, and I won't repeat what the accusation was.
Yeah. Okay.
But, there's no real proof right now that, that what was happening. She was actually quite polite. And, he was apparently quite polite in that discussion. So,
perfect.
Yeah. So $100 million suit against Marriott Hotels, but it also should go against his, in my view, he was suspended because of the networks,
yeah,
jumping to conclusions without any public hearing or any discussions. And I think that was absolutely what we're facing in America right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. What I'm facing right now is I've got about 45 minutes of editing to do on the volume quality on this particular program. So I better get at it. Jim, thanks for your time, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Al.
You bet. See ya.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.